Welcome to Careertals. This week, finding out your internal future. The questions this cast answers are, how do I find out what the organization has planned for me? How do I compare my future at this company with an offer I have? And when is the best time to ask about my future?
Folks, we have our big IMP conference coming up this year. It's our largest conference of the year. We expand the total number available to come to 50. And it's 2 days, October 27th and 28th. It's in Chicago. It is by far our most successful conference ever in terms of the engagement during and after. We still have people talking to one another, massively expand your internal network, learn what it means to be an executive rather than a manager, learn from other executives through all different industries about what they've gone through, what their experiences have been, what they've learned and want to share with you from the community. We looked forward to this years ago. Mike and I looked forward to this years ago that the community would get so big that we could start calling on our community members to help others. It's like a massive network that's available to you once you come to the IMP conference. So hope to see you there. Chicago, October 27th and 28th.
Andrew, this came out of so many emails that we've had to customer service where people say, hey, I'm looking at another job or I've got another offer, but I don't know what my company has planned for me. And so I can't make that comparison. Do I just go in and tell them I have another offer? Like, what have you got? Which is the answer is no.
Right.
But so many people find themselves in that position, and companies too, where the company has something planned and the project hasn't been announced, or you know, the promotion hasn't been announced, or for some reason the timing isn't right for them to have told this professional, this is what we have planned for you. And the professional therefore thinks nothing's happening. So they go out and find another job. They don't need to find another job when they could be happy at the organization where they are, but they don't know about that future. And so because neither party is communicating with the other about this future, then the professional leaves and goes to another company. The company misses out, but the professional misses out on continuity and all of the relationships that they have and all of that stuff. So it makes me very sad that this happens, and it happens so often.
It does. I even think of times in my transitional times in my career where I've been thinking about an opportunity and talking to, you know, close confidants, and they've said, well, you know what you're getting. You know what the future holds where you're at. It's really, you don't know what the future holds or what's on the horizon for the new opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to one of them, yeah, I don't really know what the future holds here, though, because either I hadn't had the conversation we're going to talk about today, or I, you know, thought that maybe there was an idea of what the future would hold from a conversation I had 2 years ago when I joined the organization, but things have changed and organizations change at the drop of a hat. And so I remember thinking to myself, I don't really know what the future holds here, which is shame on me because I'm here. Mm-hmm. I know everyone. I can find out. I have a relationship with my boss. You're right. In a time of transition, you don't know the other side, the new opportunity. You know what the hiring manager, what the recruiter is telling you, but at least you have, you know, something to go on. If you're in your current role with your current organization, certainly, you know, there's an opportunity there to know what the future, at least to a degree, where the future is pointing.
Yeah, at least enough to compare.
Exactly.
So we're going to talk about effective career planning relies on knowing your boss's plans. Use these natural opportunities for timing. So we're going to tell you when some good opportunities are. Your approach with your boss is, I want to be prepared.
I love that.
Don't make an ultimatum and never make it about money. So we'll start with effective career planning relies on knowing your boss's plans. And so this whole guidance, everything we're about to say makes way more sense if we first agree on the reason for the question. And the reason you want to know more about what the organization has planned for you is so that you can compare apples to apples, the future, and any other future that's open to you. So one of our rules at Careertals is that you are open to opportunities. That doesn't mean you're looking for another job. It doesn't mean you're not happy with the job you have. It means that you are willing to have a conversation with anybody who seems to have an opportunity that could interest you. And if you're open to opportunities and you have a good network, you'll be surprised how often people say, hey, would you just come over and talk about this? Or we've got this new project. I wonder if you'd talk to me about it. Or we're really hoping to get into semiconductors and we need a salesperson. Would you like to talk about it? And those conversations are great to have, but it's really hard to know whether or not it's worth pursuing if you don't know what the alternative is. And as you were saying, the alternative is stay at your current organization. And probably 90% of people have no idea what that future looks like. Just like you, you know, they knew what it was 2 years ago when they were hired, or they knew what it was at the beginning of this project and now it's coming to the end, but they don't know what that future holds.
Absolutely. And I would say the other thing is that when you're talking about comparing apples to apples, you're comparing the new opportunity and the prospect and the potential future to just your current state.
Right.
And that's nowhere near an apt comparison. Yeah, absolutely.
And you can't know if X is a better offer than what you have now unless you know what your current organization has planned for you. Because in a job offer or a job interview situation, the hiring manager lays out what they expect to happen in the next 6 months to a year. The skills you'll be using, the growth opportunities, or at least if you ask those questions in an interview, you'll get those answers. Not everybody does. And for most people, the problem isn't, is that a good future for me or not? It's, I don't know anything about my current future to compare it to. And that's where they get stuck.
Right, exactly. And there's no good reason that your current manager isn't able to lay out that same kind of roadmap. There are reasons that they don't. None of them are good. I think of times in my career where I haven't had this conversation with some of my directs. And, you know, there were reasons. They weren't very good. They were reasons like I didn't want to feel like I was promising them something. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to get to a point where I was losing trust or credibility with them because I said, hey, something is going to happen in 6 months and then it doesn't end up happening or things change, which leads to another reason. As a manager, you don't always have unilateral decision-making. Mm-hmm.
You don't have full control over someone's career, right?
Yeah. Other people are involved in some of those decisions. Who gets assigned projects? Who gets promotions? Who gets opportunities? And so I maybe don't want to shed the light on the fact that I am not going to be able to make that decision, you know, with my own manager magic wand, right?
Right.
And so there's no good reason your current manager can't lay out some sort of plan or at least future kind of roadmap. And the thing is, if you leave, they're going to have to do it for the new hire that comes in to replace you.
Exactly.
So there's a good reason for them to at least formulate these thoughts. But most managers think of this as a hiring tool, as a way to get people in, explain, you know, what the future is going to hold, kind of an onboarding process, and not necessarily as a retention tool. Managers and really professionals as a whole relegate career planning to specific times. I'm thinking specifically of, you know, an annual review, that once a year conversation, mm-hmm. right? And we allow managers and employees to imagine a future separately without ever even talking about, you know, their vision or our vision or getting an agreement that's desirable, which is dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It is. Sometimes when you think about it, when I start to write, I'm like, why on earth would I do this? And, you know, they always say you write for yourself. And 90% of the time when I'm writing this, I write about what I learned the hard way so that other people don't get to it. And yeah, this right. is just silly. So, but keep this in mind, the goal of this conversation between you and the manager is to make clear the future that you both imagine. It's not about making decisions or changing jobs or holding anybody to ransom. It's not a promise that either of you will be held to. It's a professional best guess. It's a, if you take this conversation out of a moment when you have another offer and you want to make a decision, or it's annual review time and what you say affects your bonus, or, you know, if you take this conversation away from those pressure point moments, it just becomes a conversation about what do we think is going to happen and how do we think that's going to work out for us?
Yeah. And I think you make a good point about the promise and not something that, you know, you're going to be held to either of you.
Mm-hmm.
that's the framework of this conversation. That should be the tone of this conversation. And if we were talking to your manager, we would say, you're not obligated, you're not held to whatever you, you know, talk about and the ideas and concepts that you lay out. But we're not. We're talking to you. And so you have to convey that tone. You have to be the one who says, listen, I'm not going to hold you to this. I just want to talk about it. I want to see what's coming down the pike. You have more data than I do, right? Because they're in a different, your managers are in a different perspective, different seat.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So there are some natural opportunities for timing, moments when that tension isn't there, and therefore you can have this conversation in a much more gentle, much more collaborative way. So we're going to talk about those. And the, like most difficult conversations, the best time to ask is not the moment you actually need to know. In other words, not when you're already interviewing, or not when you've already had that conversation, or not when your wife has said, hey, you need a pay rise or else. You know, many, many people we know wait to have this conversation until they have another offer. And then they want to go into their boss and say, hey, I have another offer. So what's my future here? Because I need to weigh those two things up. And the boss takes that as an ultimatum. And the answer to an ultimatum is feel free to take the other choice.
Right.
And
exactly.
It turns this conversation from a career planning conversation into not an argument, but a tension filled conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This works the other way around too, right? A manager may have plans, may have thoughts, may have, I mean, if they're good, right? Mm-hmm. They're thinking about succession planning. They're thinking about, you know, next steps. And they may have these things in their head, but they're not vocalizing them or articulating them because they're not fully formed. Or maybe that's another barrier for them to have that conversation because there's still things up in the air. And then inevitably, right, their direct comes and says, hey, I have another offer. And they go, oh, well, wait, but I have all these things that I had planned for you. And that message loses its credence, its credibility, because you're like, even if everything they're saying is true, you're thinking, well, but did I have to come to you and say, like, I had another offer?
Right. And this is why so many people do the whole ultimatum thing, or recommend the whole ultimatum thing, which is really bad advice. But so many people say it because this is the only way you find out. This is the only way that most people find out what the future is planned for them. Whereas what we're recommending is a different way to find that out. So, and you'll have most success with this conversation if you choose to have it at a time when tensions are low and op tempo is low and your boss isn't frazzled about anything at work or personally. If you think about this, this is a conversation that potentially is about the next 2 years of your life. Whether you have it this week or next week is not a big deal. So choose a good time. And also, you will have way more success if you turn this from a one-and-done conversation into a regular part of career planning conversations with your boss. It makes it, it's like, you know, when people are interviewing and they come into work in a suit and everyone's like, what are you dressed up for? Interviews? Everybody always assumes that's what you're doing, right? And if you suddenly have a series of dentist appointments, you're interviewing. And if you suddenly want to talk about career planning, you're interviewing. Like, and so it always seems suspicious. Whereas if you make it a series of low-key periodic conversations, it becomes less suspicious and therefore your boss will trust you more and give you more information. The first time you have this conversation, it is quite possible your boss will say, you know, I can't promise you anything, so I'm not going to say anything because, you know, that's burned me before. Right. And you're going to have to say, okay, I understand that. This is what I'm thinking I'd like to do. Maybe we'll talk again in 3 months, or maybe, you know, when I, you know, next time a project comes around, I'll bring it up again and maybe you'll have more information at the time. You have to understand that bosses have been burned before and they're bringing that into their management of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that weren't true, but that's human nature, right?
And the great part about that is when that project comes up, that's not the first time you've talked about this.
Exactly.
Right? You brought it up. They were kind of dismissive, and that's totally fine, understandable. But now something, there is an opportunity, and it's not the first. It's just like when we talk about maintaining your network, mm-hmm. right? You reach out when there isn't anything to reach out about. You reach out when you don't need something, so that when you do, it's not the first time you've had that conversation. The same principle, right? It's the same thing. Your annual review is the obvious place to have this conversation, whether it's part of the process or not, asking questions like, how do you see the year going for me? What opportunities do you see in this year for me? What should I be learning this year? I love that question. What should I be learning? Because that's not asking for anything specific. That's not, you know, jumping at, you know, a promotion or asking for anything. It's just saying, hey, what should I be learning, right? I'm continuously trying to invest in my own development. What can I be learning? All of these are reasonable questions from someone who just got a good review. Now, if you got a bad review, don't ask these questions. Your focus should not be on the future. It should be mitigating issues brought up before asking, you know, forward-looking questions like these.
Folks, if you're listening to the show and you don't have a license to our work, I urge you to consider it. It's only $200 a year. In fact, I just mentioned the M Conference in an earlier ad. In the M Conference, for the $3,000, you get 10 years of licenses for free, which is a $2,000 deal. So the M Conference itself only cost $1,000, which is a sick good deal. I encourage you to become a licensee. For $200 a year, you help us continue to expand the distribution of the podcast. You get access to all the show notes for manager tools and career tools and executive tools. And what's more, you get access to a private, secure executive tools feed so you can listen to the executive tools podcast every other week. You also get access to the interviewing series, several other of our digital products we've lumped all in this year because of the career and professional turbulence over the last couple of years, thanks to the pandemic and the difficulty of the business year who will go with never, I'll never say the number that happened before the year 2021. So become a licensee. And also you get access to me, which might be nice. I'm actually a nice guy in real life. Thanks, folks.
So your approach to your boss, the tone that you take with your boss has a big part of the success of this conversation. So what you want to be saying is, I want to be prepared. What you're not saying is, this is what I want my future to be. What you're mm-hmm. saying is, I want to be ready for the future you envision for me. That's a hard word to say.
Yeah, but that's a great sentiment. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. So another good time for this kind of conversation is when there's a new project or a new initiative announced. And again, be careful of the timing. Don't ask in the kickoff meeting with 100 people in the room, right? It makes you sound selfish. What's in this for me, right?
Yeah.
Don't ask the moment that the initiative or the project is announced because your boss hasn't had time to think about the plan. You know, they need mm-hmm. a few days, especially if it's something big, to chill, right? To go, okay, I'm going to put this person here and I'm going to put this person here and we're going to do this and this and this. And then like 2 days later when you come, then there's something there. So wait for your next one-on-one meeting or a meeting where there's just you and your boss. And if you don't have a meeting like that, you should have, it's called, I can't remember what the podcast is called, that is about one-on-one meetings with your boss.
Professional updates?
Yes, professional updates. That's the one, which is how to have one-on-ones if your boss doesn't do one-on-ones.
But right.
Those yeah. kind of meetings is a really good place to ask. And you can say something like, yeah, boss, I'm really excited about this new project. I want to support you the best way I can. And I want to get prepared for that now. So what impact do you see it having on my role in the next 6 to 12 months? It's not about, hey, what's in this for me? It's not about, tell me what my future is so I can compare it to other things. It's about how can I support the team and the organization and get this thing done. Another way to say it is, boss, I'm really excited about this new project. I want to support you the best way I can, and I'd like to get prepared now. What opportunities to serve do you see me having in the next 3 to 6 months? It's all about yeah. how can I contribute, not what can I get.
Right. You know, I think that's what hinders people from having this conversation is this is the kind of conversation that many people don't have because they know what they really want to know about is their future. And it seems disingenuous for them to pretend to make it about serving the boss or serving the organization. But you're not pretending. It's about your future, but it's also about the contribution that you'll be making to the organization, to the team. They're just different ways of looking at the same future behavior. Do you hold the door open because your mom's going to flick your ear if you don't? Or do you do it because you want to help the old lady who's, you know, walking in with a cane? Why can't it be both?
Yeah.
There are other opportunities to have these conversations, not just the annual review or not just your one-on-one. You just have to look out for them and be mindful of them. Listen for the moment that you can make a graceful segue rather than asking out of the blue. this is a very nuanced form of a conversation to mm-hmm. have, right? And, you know, after what, I don't know, 12 years of doing, 10, 12 years of doing casts, we're getting into some nuance here, right? It's true. it's not as cut and dry as some of the other things that we've talked about, so.
But, you know, when your boss starts talking about something that's going to happen in 3 months, then it's perfectly, you know, oh, in 3 months' time, you know, we're going to have moved to this system. Okay, so how do you see the team moving then? Or how do you see the focus of our team moving then? Or this project's going to be done. Oh, and what do you see for the team? Like, you, if you say it for the team, again, it's the same as asking, what's my future? But it's just a different way to ask the same thing.
Yeah, I think of this as even you could ask questions like, who all do you think is going to be involved in a transition like that?
Mm-hmm.
So that, and then immediately I would think, okay, I'm going through my mental Rolodex. Do I know somebody over there? Do I know somebody in that department? If I don't, well, I've got 6 months to start building
someone.
A relationship.
Yeah.
Rather than, hey, there's this project and now I got to be best buds with someone who I've never met and don't know.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the important part, you know, this is a nuanced conversation. It's not cut and dried, but what is very, very clear is you cannot make an ultimatum. No matter how good you think you are, there's a more than 50-50 chance that you'll come worse off if you try to make an ultimatum. Most commonly, people try to do this when they have another offer. Wendy, you were recently sent a LinkedIn article, right, about kind of recommending some guidance around this that was pretty bad.
So candidates should tell their manager, I have two offers on the table. When can I expect yours? And Mark and I answered at the first, never a clock is when you can expect mine. Because if you think that you can change the way my organization works, pressure me, you know, if you think that ultimatums work here, you're wrong. And you are not the person I want on my team. That's it. It's not just that it's rude to say it that way. It's that the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. So you're going to be rude to customers, rude to colleagues, rude to suppliers. You're going to be demanding and obtuse. And you show no understanding of the relationship between a candidate and a hiring manager or the hiring manager and the rest of the organization or the process and negotiation or relationships. And if you don't have any of that, then I don't want you on my team. That's the answer.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter if your ultimatum is about money or experience. It doesn't matter if you give your manager a year or a week to come up with the goods, right? Come up with an offer or a counter offer or anything like that. It doesn't matter whether the ask is large or small. Ultimatums don't work. They show you to be rude, demanding, obtuse. Obtuse is a big one, and not the kind of person that we want in the organization.
So instead of saying something like, I want to work with our overseas clients this year, which sounds like an ultimatum, I want this, give it to me or else. The or else is kind of implied, but it's there. Then you would say something like, I really would like the opportunity to work with one of our overseas clients this year. I know you can't promise anything and it depends on the needs of the project. I just want to verbalize my desire so that you can keep it in mind. Literally, I'm just putting it out there so that manager, when you start making considerations, you have that in your head. But before we started recording, Andrew pointed out this is just like the close at the end of an interview where you say, I would like an offer and here's why. And you are not asking for the job. You're saying, I want the offer so that I can consider it. You're not promising you're going to take that job. And in the same way, you're not asking your manager to promise that you can work with overseas clients. You're not saying, I want this or else. You're saying, this is what I would like to happen. And that puts the person who you're asking in so much more of a receptive, you know, wanting to help you kind of mood than someone who's just said this or else.
And even if you can't get them to wanting to help you, you at least can alleviate any form of obligation or pressure, right? And the statement of desire versus an ask is distinctly different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. The second shows, you know, an understanding of pressures that the manager is under, as well as the limits of their ability to give you what you want. It's much more likely that you'll get what you want if you use phrasing like the latter, Wendy said.
That desire. And the last one, never make it about money. So you might be surprised at how little we talk about money around here. And we firmly believe that fulfilling careers are not measured by the money. And if they were, we would not work here. a professional working at a well-run company should expect to be compensated at the prevailing rate of the industry and the location, right? When you go for a job, the expectation should be that the salary is fair.
Right. Commensurate with.
Yeah. Yeah. And that means that if you do a job you love, you may accept not less money, right? Because that makes up that difference.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do with the money you receive is far more under your control than what you receive. So you have control about how you spend it, even when you don't have the control of how much you get. And making your internal future about money makes you less likely to get what you want, not more. It's the same as this desire asked, the ultimatum thing. It's almost the same thing. And the easiest way to understand this is to put yourself in the shoes of a manager.
Yeah, imagine that you have two directs and they both have asked for more this year. One of them says, I really would like the opportunity to increase my salary this year. I know you can't promise anything and it depends on the needs of the projects. I just want to verbalize my desire so you could keep it in mind.
So the right wording, but this time we're asking for an increase in salary.
Right. And the other says, I really would like the opportunity to step up to be a project lead this year. I know you can't promise anything and it depends on the needs of the project. I just wanted to verbalize my desire so you could keep it in mind. Now, it's 2 months later and you're trying to work out how to staff some projects. In most cases, your company, and in every other company, employees step up to the next role without an initial pay rise. In some cases, it's thought that they need to prove themselves capable. But in some organizations, it's just because the HR process or the compensation process lags behind the actual work that needs to be done. And your choice as a manager is between someone who wants to step up to the next role and someone who wants more money. Psychologically, in order to make choices, we have to imagine the future with each of the choices. So we imagine the first person in the role, they wanted more money. They are not going to be happy because they won't get the pay bump, at least initially, but they'll have more responsibility, which is not what they asked for. On the other hand, we can choose person two who expressed a desire for the role. They're going to be happy because they got what they asked for. As a manager, we would choose person two because we want willing, happy people in important roles. It's not actually possible for a manager to make their team happy. It's better for them to be productive so that they can discover their own happiness. But we're human, and humans generally look to reduce friction and describe that as increase in happiness. Is it possible that the person who asked for more money was actually saying that they wanted a project lead role? Yes, but that involves the manager mind reading. And despite hundreds of years of research, no one has been able to do that.
No mind read. Yeah. And is it possible that the person who says, I want to step up to project lead is actually saying, I want more money? And the answer is yes. And they will probably get it because that's what happens. You know, you step up to the role, you do a good job, they pay you more money. That's the way it happens. So asking for the money first puts you in a position where you're less likely to get what you want. Being willing to do more work to prove that you are worth more money is unfair, maybe, but also the way of the world. That if that's the way your company works, it works like 99% of other companies. That's just the way it happens. And so asking for the step up, saying I am willing to do more for the same money at the moment is much more conducive to getting what you want. You can find out what your organization has planned for you. And often this conversation doesn't come about not because the organization has some secret future for you that they don't want to share, but because they think it's obvious or that you know that you're valued or that you know what your manager's plans for you are. And the trick to making the conversation easy is to ask the right way at the right time. And if you want your boss to be open and honest with you, in as far as she can be with the limits of the organization, you have to be open and honest too. You have to be willing to have these difficult conversations in a way that's palatable for your boss, in a way that makes it easy for other people. And then you have this conversation once every 6 months, you know, you bring it up at the end of your one-on-one. Hey, boss, I see that, you know, I can see in the next 6 months, we're going to be doing this, this, and this. How do you see that me contributing to that? How do you see that working out in my, or my role contributing to that, or how can I be ready for that now? How can I be ready, getting ready for that now? That's the way to have this conversation. And then never will you not know what your internal future is.
And I know this goes without saying, but sometimes the things that go without saying need to be said. Make sure you're getting good results when you have this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. What he said. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.